So first I'm going to discuss, I'm going to discuss first in so much details. First you have to get an overview, no? If I immediately go into details, nobody will know what's happening. So what I'll do is, first we'll discuss each chapter. First chapter, second, third, fourth. Then after it's finished, then probably we'll come back again to important parts, to maybe verses of Bhagavad Gita, and that makes sense, is it? And yesterday I told about the linking of the chapters, so we will understand when I'll go all along. So first, the system of reading any book is, first you get a structure of the book, and then you have to go inside. So let's see. So, and another thing is, we are not going to discuss information here. I'm going to discuss some important points which you need to know. Other information you can read. So it will save time. We have to understand the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, not the information. Okay, so let's see. So Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, 700 verses. We all know that. And Bhagavad Gita, it's a part of Mahabharata, that also we know. Srimad Bhagavatam says that the point of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, there is no use of Mahabharata without Bhagavad Gita. So we have to read. If we read Bhagavad Gita, it fulfills the purpose of Mahabharata. And then we can go to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said, no, Bhagavad Gita is undergraduation and Bhagavatam is post-graduation and Chaitanya Charitamrita is super-specialization. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita takes us to the point of surrender. Is it? What is Krishna's plan? And I should surrender to him. And Bhagavatam talks about little beyond surrender, love. Talks in details about love. Love in Srimad Bhagavatam is called ashray. It's called shelter. Some people call it as nirodh. Nirodh means negation of material world and negation of your own ideas. Nirodh, stop. Negation of your own ideas and accepting ideas of God. That is Bhagavatam, talks about love. And Chaitanya Charitamrita goes beyond this and it talks about service. But not ordinary service. Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us, for service you can leave God. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's difficult to understand, no? You have to leave God. Come on, in Bhagavatam we have been reading about love and we want Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us, no, for service you can leave God. Service is more important than Krishna. Because if you want Krishna, you will get him. But if you please him, he will get you. So Mahaprabhu says, okay, that's better. Rather than we more wanting to serve him and meet him, let's just please him by our service and he will come to meet you. That's it. That's why super specialization. It's not easy to understand this concept. And this concept is all there in Ramayanam. Ramayana if you read. But Bhagavatam, it's there in Ramayana, it's there in Mahabharata, but it's hidden. You need commentaries to understand. This is the point. But in Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opens this to everybody. That is why he is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya, most merciful incarnation. He reveals this secret to everybody. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we are talking about Gita now. And Gita's purpose is to take Arjuna from material conception to surrender. That's what Gita is all about. So first chapter, you can read so many things. But ultimately, there are just three questions in first chapter. That's all. If you know three questions, you know first chapter. The name of the chapter is Observing the Armies. And The three questions are related to this word, observing. This is the most important word here, observing. And Prabhupada, actually, Prabhupada names this chapter perfectly, you know, observing the armies. If you read in Sanskrit, this is not the name. Real name of the chapter is Sanskrit. If you read Gita Press or any of the book, yeah, so wrote in Sanskrit. Real name of the chapter is Vishad Yog. You see, Vishad Yog. Vishad Yog, Vishad Yog. Vishad means sorrow. Yoga means linking. So Arjuna is unhappy and he can't establish his link with God. Is it? That's what is happening. But Prabhupada names is that observing the armies. Prabhupada changes the name. And that is insight. That is real insight. Why Arjuna is in lamentation? The question is that. It's not that Prabhupada is speculating, no? It's not that Prabhupada is changing something. I mean, do the scholars say that? That Prabhupada changed many things in Bhagavad Gita. And he has put devotional service everywhere, no? Karma Yoga is also devotion and Jnana, everything is devotion. But, oh, did you do that course? Bhakti Shastri, have you done that?
No.
No, okay. So, yeah, what I am telling, they'll not tell. It's not there. So there's a difference. But I am telling you what is required, not information. I don't like information. Okay, so, what I was telling? Yeah, Vishad Yoga. So Prabhupada has insight. And Prabhupada is not speculating. Prabhupada is not just adjusting Gita. He is giving us those things which we will never be able to figure out by our own understanding. That's function of Acharya, no? You can read the same thing. Okay, it's there. What's the point? So that's the main word, observing the armies. Why Prabhupada names this chapter as observing the armies? Because observation is what makes a man. We are what we observe. We are what we think, is it? That's all. What's the difference between you and me? Our body is the same, our mind is the same, intelligence is the same, constitutionally, but we think differently. No? So it is said, what's that? An idea makes a difference, no? Is it? Idea makes a difference. So why Prabhupada names that observing? Because there are three questions. Arjuna is observing from his own angle, and Prabhupada uses the word conception for this. He has his own angle of vision. Duryodhana is observing from his own angle of vision, and Krishna is observing from his angle of vision. Three angles and three conflicting angles. Duryodhana is not in tune with Arjuna. Arjuna is definitely not in tune with Duryodhana. Krishna is not tuned in with both of them, and that's why observing the armies, this is important. How you perceive this word, how you conceive this word, how you observe this word. Your thinking leads to willing, feeling, no? Thinking leads to feeling. You observe something, you have feeling. And feeling leads to willing, actions. Prabhupada says in his books, thinking, feeling, willing. Simple. So, thinking matters. And what we are trying to do here in this class, we are trying to change our thinking, no? Otherwise, what's the point of doing all these things? Okay, so that's three questions. So what is the answer of these three questions? Why Duryodhana wants to fight? Why Duryodhana is... What is observation of Duryodhana? Observation of Duryodhana is that I want to kill Pandavas. That's what his goal is, especially Bhim. He's like in full conflict with Bhim. I'll kill them, that's all, and I want to keep my kingdom. He wants to keep his kingdom, but more than that, he's also envious with Pandavas. That's the point. Even if it was not the issue of kingdom, he would have still got with fight with them. He wants to kill them, that's all. He doesn't like them. So he is a typical materialistic person. Typical. He was incarnation of Kali, by the way, Duryodhana. You know this. So of course, what do you expect from him? So He wants to kill, that's all. So he is typical a representation of a person who wants things, who wants to kill others, and he wants his supremacy, his power, his name, his fame. That's what he's all about. That's what people are all about, no? And Arjun is, okay, now this is easy to understand. Okay, another question is, why Bhagavad Gita begins with, what's the first verse of Bhagavad Gita? Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. But you should not answer this when I ask you this question, what is the first verse? Because it is wrong. Yeah, this is not Gita. Because Gita is what? Gita is song of God. This is not told by God. No, this is not Krishna speaking. This is Sanjay speaking. That's why whenever somebody asks you what is the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, you have to counter question him. Okay, you want what answer do you want? First verse of Bhagavad Gita. Do you want from the verse from where book begins? Or do you want the verse from where Krishna starts speaking? That's the idea. How do you define Gita as? Then I'll answer your question. Because if anybody asks you what is the first verse to some scholar, and if you say Dharma Kshetre, he will say you are not at Bhagavad Gita. He will say. So, okay. Of the book, first verse of this book Gita is Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre. The first verse of Gita is Kutasva Kashmalam. Okay, fine, yeah. Krishna says Kutasva Kashmalam Idam. Krishna reprimands. He scolds. So either you can say that. So you have to ask again two questions. Okay, which you want first verse of Gita, you want instructions, or should I tell you the verse from where Krishna scolds? Is it? So if you tell Gita, first verse of Gita is Kutasva Kashmalamidam, good. That's the first words of Krishna. So you can start, you can say that. If you want to ask what is the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, that is, what is that, second chapter? What's that? Socha nanva shochastyam pragyavadam shabhashase tasunagatosam nanu shochantipan. And this is, I think, second chapter, 11th verse or 12th verse, something. You have to see. So that's, I think, second 12, probably. Yeah, second 12. Second 11. Okay. 2.11. That's the first verse of Gita. If you go to any Mayavadi, and if you tell Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre, he'll say, get out. He'll not answer your questions, because you're not read. So you have to be careful. You have to counter question. Okay. So that's about Dhritarashtra. So you can understand Duryodhan, you can understand Dhritarashtra. But the question is, why Bhagavad Gita begins with Dhritarashtra? See, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samveta, Utsava, Mamka, Pandava, Sheva. This is told by Dhritarashtra. Now, Gita is such an auspicious book. And it starts with a villain. That's bad. You don't start any religious book with a villain. It's not a good movie, no? Start with some auspicious character, auspicious person. It should begin with Krishna, no? If you would have been writers of Gita. Example. Then we would have begin with Krishna. Okay, Krishna speaks first verse and then story begins. But Vyasadev doesn't do like that. Why? What's the answer? So, answer is that actually there's a deep answer to this question. And the deep answer is Prabhupada gives one answer, that Dhritarashtra is blind. Prabhupada says he is blind not only by eyes, but by his mind also. His heart is also blind. He can't see at the same time by his eyes, and he can't also see reality. And the reality is, Duryodhan is bad. Due to his affection as son, he can't understand. He understands, but when Duryodhan comes, he forgets. Is it? So, that's a problem with Dhritarashtra. And that is a problem with all of us, no? Is it? We understand, but at the same time, due to attachment, we don't understand. Is it? So we are all in sampradaya of Dhritarashtra. We are in his parampara. He is our acharya. He's people, materialistic people. He's all acharya, materialistic people. Okay, so we also know devote non-devotees. They know things. If you ask any non-devotee, India. Okay, do you know Gita? Yes, I know Gita. What is body? You know body, soul. Everybody knows, but still they can't understand anything now because they are attached. They are like Dhritarashtra. That's all. So this book begins with a person who represents society. Society. That's what you start any movie with. You know, you start with a character which you can identify with. Then you can enter the movie. No, otherwise, okay. If you see the movie, what's there for me? Why I'm seeing this? Is it? So Vyasadeva is a good writer. He knows how to write. He knows how to involve people. Is it? And especially this is a part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is like it's like the biggest and the best drama. Is it? Mahabharata. Nobody can beat it. All scholars, even today, even Hollywood movie, if you go to Hollywood directors, they say there is no drama, there is no film better than Mahabharata. So much suspense, so many things are going, everything is linked, so big. So that's why it begins with Dhritarashtra. You understand? So we change slowly from Dhritarashtra to Arjuna. So we understand the mood of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is also observing, you see? His observation, everything is observation, no? So, and slowly after Gita, we realize observation of Dhritarashtra is not good. Observation of Arjuna is better. That is in line with Krishna after reading Bhagavad Gita. But now even Arjuna's observation is not proper. His conception is also not good. So that's okay. That's Duryodhana Dhritarashtra, we understand. What about Arjuna? Arjuna is observing everything from his angle of vision. And he concludes, I should not fight. Mm-hmm. And of course, not just he concludes, I should not fight. He's also fearful. Why Arjuna denies to fight? Why doesn't want to fight? What's the problem? What is the angle of vision? What do you say?
Compassion.
Okay, and compassion for what?
Relatives.
Okay.
Attachment to relatives.
Okay, but you know what? The answer is not that easy. It's not just this. There's a whole lot, many things going on. Now you come to this verse, 28th. You see, I'll show you. First chapter, 28th verse. And I think this is page number 49 in this Gita, in this new edition. Otherwise you can... Drishtvaivam svajanam krishna yutsam samupasthitam sidanti mama gatrani sukham cha parishushyate. This is the verse. So, Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. So the point is, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Now you said this answer, no? Relatives and friends. But Prabhupada writes something else in the purport. You see in the... What's happening?
People are joining. Almost
in the end of this purport, first chapter 28th verse, Prabhupada writes... Prabhupada writes, okay... This overwhelmed a kind of a devotee like Arjuna. Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine in the purport. You find this line?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's body limbs quivering, his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness. You see? It's not due to weakness of heart. Weakness means, weakness comes in a person when he is on totally materialistic platform, no? His heart becomes weak. Weakness means attachment. You become weak when you are attached, is it? You can't take proper decisions. So Duryodhana is always, Vidur is always saying Dhritarashtra. See, Dhritarashtra, please give this kingdom to Pandavas. And he says, okay. He's convinced. But when Vidur goes and Duryodhana comes, And Duryodhan says, you know, he sees his son and due to attachment, his decisions become weak decisions. Prabhupada is saying this is not due to weakness. That means his observation, his decision not to fight is not totally due to attachment, but due to soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of Lord. See, he's still a pure devotee. It's not that he's fully into material conception. He still maintains his constitutional position of a pure devotee. So it's more complex than one answer. You know, every person is a complex, no? It's not just one thing. It's never one thing. Suppose you scold your child. It's not just you angry. You're not angry. It's not just anger. In that anger, there's love also. And you scold your child, no? And in that love and anger and scolding, there's also a feeling that I should not scold. Is it? It happens. It's very complex. Emotions are complex. You can't just say one answer. And especially in the case of Arjuna, because he's a pure devotee. So, Prabhupada says, his characteristic is due to pure devotee. Now the question is, what is compassion of a pure devotee? What do you mean by compassion of a pure devotee? Why is, if a pure devotee is compassionate, why?
Soft-heartedness.
No, but, okay, fine, I'll put the question another way. If an outside person is, if a non-devotee is compassionate, if a devotee is compassionate, what's the difference between both compassion? That's my question. Is there any difference or it's same?
Yes, sattvic qualities.
Devotee is compassionate on the spiritual platform.
Okay, so you have to define spiritual platform. That's another name of that. Yeah. If you can define what spiritual platform, then it becomes easy. Otherwise, we are renaming the situation. Okay, so the answer is, the pure devotee's compassion is, actually Prabhupada gives the answer in Nectar of Devotion. When you go, chapter 29, you read that. In that, Prabhupada gives the answer. And Prabhupada gives an example of compassion of pure devotee. You see that Sahadeva and Nakul? So when they were, their father was like dead, no? Pandu? But when they were going, I think in Dwarka or somewhere, then they saw lotus feet of Krishna. And they started crying out of compassion, Prabhupada writes. And they were crying, "Oh Pandu, if you were there at this time, oh Madri, Madri, she's not there. If you were at this time, you would have also seen lotus feet of Krishna and got benefited. It's so unfortunate that you missed this opportunity." You see, the compassion is linked to Krishna. Non-devotee's compassion is linked to themselves. That's the problem there. Although non-devotees cannot understand this, they don't have this insight. Their compassion is linked to themselves. They think, "I'm compassionate on this person," but actually it's linked to themselves because they're thinking, "I am compassionate and there's no Krishna." You know, they want in return something, at least some peace out of compassion. Otherwise, why he will do such things? So, but devotee is not like that. He's thinking of Krishna, and that's what is Arjuna's compassion all about. It's not due to weakness, it's due to soft-heartedness, a characteristic of pure devotee. A devotee is soft-hearted, and Arjuna is thinking, as a compassion, as a pure devotee, that if these people die, they lose the opportunity to serve Krishna. See? That's what is going deep within his soul. It's complex, no? Deep within his soul, there's this idea. If all these die, what will happen to them? Krishna, they lose Krishna. They didn't get an opportunity to serve him. They don't love him. And it's a fearful situation, no? What will happen to them? And they are his relatives, you see. So, see, it's not attachment. It's not attachment totally on material platform. Suppose you have your relatives, and well, I mean to say very dear relatives, not just, suppose your own children, and they're not devotees. So you're compassionate, okay, fine. At least you feel that they should come to Krishna, no? Is it? So that is your attachment. But also Krishna is there in the picture. It's not non-devote, like non-devotees attachment. It's not purely like that. So there's a difference here. He's a pure devotee and his constitutional position cannot be wiped off. He's eternally liberated person. So that's why he's compassionate. He's thinking, my God, these people, they're such a villain. Duryodhan, what he's doing, you know. He doesn't understand what he's doing. So may Krishna forgive him. Is it? And help him to come. And that happened with Dhritarashtra. Vidur, after this war, took Dhritarashtra, you know, to the forest. We all know Bhagavatam. Vidur was always trying and he took Dhritarashtra. When war was over, he told Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, you fool. Now everything is over. Now at least leave kingdom, you know. And come and meditate on Krishna. And perfect your life. So Vidur is also attached to Dhritarashtra because he is his elder brother. But Krishna is there. You understand? So by this we understand, Prabhupada is saying. Okay, but so, but you read the next verse, 29th verse. And what does Prabhupada say? 29th verse, Krishna says, my whole body is Arjuna says, my whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gandhi is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Prabhupada writes, there are two kinds of trembling of body, two kinds of standing of hair on end. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of great fear under material condition. There is no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. This is evident from other symptoms. Became so impatient that his famous bow gandhi was slipping from his hand because his heart was burning within him. He was feeling burning sensation of skin. All these are due to material conception of life. See, suddenly the story changes, you know. So that, you see, it's not material. Now Prabhupada says it's due to material conception of life. But previous purport he says he's a pure devotee. So what's happening? This confusion. So your answer that he is totally into illusion, that's not right. That's not correct if you think about it. But is he totally liberated? Is he totally free of illusion? No. That also we can't say. So there's a mixture. And this is what happens when a pure devotee is put into illusion. Krishna is putting into illusion him, no? He's confusing him. And of course everything is done by Krishna. But when Arjuna is facing his relatives, he is thinking of attachment. He's attached, of course. So he is into material, externally he's into material conception of life. For a moment. It's momentarily. But deep within his soul, he's pure devotee. So those things conflict. And when they conflict, a compassion arises. And that compassion is linked to Krishna. You see? So, it's complex psychology. That's what is observation of Arjuna. That's the second question. How does Arjuna observe the armies? He observes in this kind of situation. Like this. So that answer that Arjuna is totally into material concept of life, that's not correct. He's not totally into material concept of life. Otherwise, you can't make the purports out. What's happening? You get confused when you read purports. Okay, so internally, externally. Externally is material conception of life. Momentarily, internally is pure devotee. And those come together. And this is how he observes. He has compassion. And he thinks about Krishna also. And himself. And it's coming. Okay. How does Krishna observe these armies? What is his angle of vision? What he's thinking? See, the point is to understand how Krishna thinks. The point is, because we want to understand how Krishna thinks. Because if you don't know how Krishna thinks, then you can't serve him. Is it? If I know you, just what is your name, what is your form, what you do, I can't serve you like that because I don't know how you think. And that's what is marriage all about, no? Marriage, husband knows how my wife thinks. Wife knows what my husband thinks. And then they can sit together. If marriage is not based on thinking, it's based just on body. Girlfriend, boyfriends, they break their relation. Okay, fine. Done. That's all. That's not thinking. So we have to understand how Krishna thinks. It's not enough to know what is Krishna's form, pastimes and qualities. We're chanting his name to enter into mind of God. This Gita is mind of God. This is thinking. So how Krishna thinks, there's some kind of hint in first chapter. But then Krishna says, Arjuna, okay, fine, my plan is this. If you want to know why my plan is this, you have to enter my mind, how he thinks. Why I want you to fight? Why? Okay, what's the logic? Okay, I want to know what's your thinking. And this is Gita all about. Gita is not a book, just a book. It is mind of God. Always remember, when you read this book, you have to understand, you are entering mind of Krishna. His mind. So whenever you read, you should go with this conception. Otherwise you think it's a book. So every word of this book is important. Every word was, every full stop is important. Krishna is stopping somewhere. When you speak, everything is important, no? So, what's that? In Hindi, anyway. So, you can say, go. You can say, go.
Go.
Yeah. So, there's a difference. So, you have to understand how, that's why, that is a sometimes, a shloka is something and Prabhupada is writing something else, no? You feel? Sometimes it's like funny. Why? Because Prabhupada and Acharyas know that how Krishna is addressing. He's saying go or he's saying go. So that's because it's all mind, no? It's mind of God. That's make this book special. Because all scriptures are not mind of God. There are Vedas and all are mind of God. That's another thing. But this is, Krishna is himself opening his mind. This is me. See, this is me. All those Vedas and everything, okay, fine. That is revealed to Rishis. And they're writing, there are bits and pieces. But this, I am telling you, is it? It makes a difference. You ask some other person what he thinks, he can tell you. And then he tells, that person tells what I think. Of course, there's a difference, no? That's why Gita is special. So, okay, now, fine. What is Krishna thinking? What is observation of Krishna? So, Arjuna, out of that complex emotions, he denies to fight. I don't want to fight. Finish. Duryodhana wants to fight. That's a consequence of observation. Thinking, feeling, willing. So Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, their thinking is power, success, attachment. I want to fight. Arjuna's emotional thinking is little complex. Compassion out of material conception, both mixed. And he says, I don't want to fight. That's a willing part, action. What about Krishna? What is his thinking and what is his action? What he thinks? Why he wants this fight to happen? He wants this fight to happen, no? Why? What do you say? Why?
Dharma sansthapana.
Okay, that's the usual answer. Dharma sansthapane arthaya sambhavami yogya yogya. That's maybe one reason. But Prabhupada says in that purport to that verse, that's not the reason. Prabhupada says because he could have done established religious principles by any devotee also. So what's the answer? So generally, people say, Prabhupada says in that purport, paritranaya sadhunam. It's not to destroy demons, but to actually help his devotees, no? But the answer is little more deeper than that. And, okay, come to this verse, I'll show you the answer. Okay, text 32 and 35, first chapter. Text 30-35, first chapter is, oh sorry, yeah, this, you can see this, no? Kimno rajena govinda kim bhogena, this, okay, come to the last line of this purport. It's a big verse, first chapter 30-35, what's the last line? Second last, just come to this page. What's that? Purport. Oh. Sorry, I saw it. Just come to this line. The devotee of Lord does not retaliate against wrongdoers. Did you find this line?
Yes.
Just in the almost in the end.
Of 35?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yes.
The devotee of Lord does not retaliate against wrongdoer. Oh. In the purport to first chapter, 32nd to 35th verse, in the purport in the last, Prabhupada writes, the devotee of Lord does not retaliate against wrongdoer. But the Lord does not tolerate any mischief done to devotee by miscreants. The Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Therefore, the Lord was determined to kill the miscreants, although Arjuna wanted to excuse them. See? So the point is, Krishna wants to take revenge. He's a person. His revenge is not like our revenge. Our revenge is out of enviousness. Krishna's revenge is for his devotees. His revenge is to express his love for his devotees. You see? And that is Paritranaya Sadhunam, if you really think about it. He is coming here to help his devotees. How? By showing them that he loves them. If you love him, he'll love you. If you'll sacrifice your life for him, he's ready to sacrifice his life. Of course, he can't die. But he's saying, fine, you know, I can do anything for you. Even if it means to kill everybody. Even if you want to excuse. Krishna never forgot Draupadi. He never forgot Draupadi. At that time he decided, I'll kill all of them. They can't do this to my devotee. And Duryodhan was always trying to plot against Pandavas. He was always trying to kill Bhima and all of them. And he was tolerating, and now the point has come. Now he has decided. Even though Arjuna says, I don't want this fight, I don't want to kill, Krishna says, you go to forest, I'll kill them. Is it? I want to kill them. That's all. That's my plan. And killing them will help in two ways. Paritranaya Sadhunam, Nashaya Yudhishthiram. These foolish people, they get destroyed. Earth becomes peaceful. But more than that, I also establish religious principle. And the highest religious principle is that of love. Highest religious principle is not that of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. No, it's that of love. Those who surrender to him, he'll surrender to his devotees. In his mind, he thinks, I'm surrendering. No. Prabhupada writes in this purport. Prabhupada writes, Krishna's name is Rishikesh. And Prabhupada writes the meaning of Rishikesh, that a devotee wants to serve Krishna and Krishna wants to serve his devotees. You read in one of the purport, Prabhupada writes. So in his mind, Krishna thinks, I'm serving. In his mind, Krishna doesn't think, I'm giving mercy. Why? Because Krishna is the most humble person. That one devotee was telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please have mercy on me. I am the most humble. Prabhupada said, no, you are not the most humble. Krishna is most in everything. Is it? You can't defeat Krishna. So we learn from Krishna that Krishna wants to serve. So we learn from him. If Krishna wants to serve his devotees, we also want to serve, no? Like father, like sons. Like master, like servants. So that's the idea. So Krishna wants to take revenge. Krishna wants to kill all of them. Not because of establishing mundane religious principles. Not just because he wants to kill all wicked people. Main purpose is out of love to his devotees. That's the main thing. He can't excuse anyone who has done harm to his devotees. So first chapter is all about love, you see. It's not just mundane thing. How many will read first chapter, tell me? Nobody reads first chapter. And how many people comment on first chapter? If you see other people speaking on first chapter, it's just very boring, you know. Okay, this army is standing, that army is standing, and then some conch shells and some names of Krishna. You can read. But that's not what we are going to talk. That you can read. That's why I was telling. These lectures what I'm speaking, they'll be different. And then afterwards don't say that I didn't tell, okay, what is the meaning of Madhav, what is the meaning of Janardhan, how many people were there, how many Akshoni Sena, how many Akshonik Sena here. That all you can all figure out. Even if you don't figure out, doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. Information, this doesn't matter. You can read. But what I'm telling you, this you will not be able to figure out. Probably. Perhaps. So, it's good to know. So, that's what is Krishna's observation. Krishna is observing from the angle of love. See? Duryodhana is observing from the angle of attachment, power and success, including Dhritarashtra. And Arjuna is observing from a mixed angle. From attachment, compassion of a pure devotee is having love for Krishna. That's what the difference. It's mixed. So Arjuna, Krishna wants to raise us from a mundane platform of Arjuna. He said, at least don't be Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. You know, that's nonsense. And also, he doesn't actually really appreciate level of Arjuna, his mixed level. He says, you should come to pure devotion. You should observe this word from pure love. How I am observing. For love for my devotees. For my devotees' love, I can kill so many people. So, my God, so many people died. When Krishna went, after war was over, Krishna was going to Dwarka. Like, of course, from Hastinapur. So, in between Rajasthan, when he was passing Rajasthan, there was one Rishi, Kandu Rishi. And he stopped Krishna and he told Krishna, I'm going to curse you. Krishna said, okay, well, you can curse me. But you should also remember I'm God. So, remember that. But anyway, why do you want to curse me? Just tell me. So, he told, see, so many people died. Millions and millions of people died. You got to stop it. You're God. Like, why? Why so many people died? And like, I'm very unhappy for this. And why you did this? So, Krishna told, well, that's a big thing. I have to tell Gita to you then everything. Then you understand why I did this. This is all Gita all about. Why he did this, no? So, but there's no time. So, if you want to curse, you curse. But you first understand curse will not affect me. And you'll go to hell. So, no problem, you meditate, you will understand, I'm going, and everything will be done. So, that story comes. So, that's the point. That's the point here. Why, Krishna says, you observe this word through love. Just as I love you 100%, you love me 100%. No, not even 0.001% left. Don't be mixed. He doesn't like mixed things. He likes pure. Pure like gold. And that's what is these three questions all about, which is related to this name, observing the armies. That's why Prabhupada names this chapter as observing the armies. Now, you see it's important? This name is important. And it helps us to understand everything. And after you finish Gita, your angle of vision will change. It's supposed to change. Arjuna, it changes. He says, Karishe tat vachanam tava. Arjuna, Krishna, I want to fight now. I've understood. That you love me purely. And in reciprocation of that, I will love you purely. Any good person will do that, no? If you're a gentleman, you'll do that. So, that's first chapter all about. Okay, so, any questions now about first chapter? You want to ask anything? That's what I want to tell about first chapter, overview. We'll come back in details, but now I'm going overview of all chapters because you have to know the link. If you don't know the big picture, small picture, you'll not understand.
Prabhuji, could you explain one more time the observation of Duryodhana?
Observation of Duryodhana is mundane observation, totally material conception. For power, for success, actually mostly for enviousness. That's... Even if Duryodhana doesn't get power and success, it doesn't matter to him. He wants to kill Pandavas, no? So that's observation of mundane person. The worst thing is enviousness. He's envious. It is lust, anger, greed. But the base of lust, anger, greed is envy. Envy, we envy, no? We envy God. That's why there's lust. We envy people. That's why there's greed. And we envy all unfavorable situations, which we don't want. That is anger. But that's envy. So that is Duryodhana all about. He envies God. He envies people. He envies all other circumstances which will stop his desires, from which lust, anger, greed comes. And that is Duryodhana's observation.
So now, is Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana on same platform?
Yeah, I mean to say, they are all, counter ego, alter ego, something like that. So Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra is also a person who is signifying enviousness. Dhritarashtra is signifying attachment. And that's what this word is all about, no? Envy and attachment. So if you're free of that, you're out. Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mama vashrita. Krishna says you have to get rid of two things. Vitrag, rag means attachment. Bhaya, fear. Fear comes out of enviousness. Why is like that? Why is doing to me like that, no? And you get fear. And then you get envy, no? So that's the two problems. Two problems, two people. Which is in us. So, yeah.
Anybody on the call would like to ask any questions?
No, the question is, your question is, many other Bhagavata starts with other shloka, that's never, it's never like that. I have seen so many Gitas. Shlokas are same, except if you go to Arya Samaj, their Gita is different. Just that. Otherwise, all other, this Gita is same as it is, shlokas are same. Purports might be different. Commentary might be different. That's another thing. But it starts with Dharmakshetra Kurukshetra. It ends with Yati Yogeshwaro Krishna. All are same. Except Arya Samaj Gita, they delete verses in the book. And that's a whole another topic why they do that. That's another thing. But those Gita are not available even market much. So it's a wrong notion. I don't know from where you get, but it's a wrong notion. That's all.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Somebody was telling this, I just wanted to confirm this. Okay. One other question from the kids' class. There was a kid who was asking this, that how spoke to Arjuna is what exactly we are reading now.
How do we know that Krishna, all this Krishna smoke?
Achha, oh.
Real. How do we know?
Oh, the question is, how do we know that this is the same book what Krishna spoke, no? That's a question?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Maybe in between somebody altered. No, that's the very premise of Arya Samaj. That's a very premise that this book was altered. So those alterations, we know what was the alterations. Nobody else knows. I don't know how they know, but they know. And those shlokas we're going to delete. And we have this original Gita. But the point is, we know this is not altered. Whereby, that is the function of writing purports and commentaries. Why do people write commentaries and purports? Why so many acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Ramanuja, along the history, people are writing commentaries in different times. We have two purposes of writing commentary. One is to explain the first verses, because in different times, different ideas. So you have to counter that. Misconception, so you write purport. Another function of writing commentary and purport is to actually preserve Gita. Is it? Because if you write commentaries to those verses, and if somebody adds some other verse, there's no commentary. Mm-hmm. What do you know? Suddenly from where it has come? Nobody has written commentary. So he can't fabricate all commentaries. No, if you can't fabricate commentaries, because if you try to fabricate commentaries, the writer has a particular system of writing. And any scholar can immediately know this is written by somebody else. It's not written by that person. So that's very difficult. And also in their commentaries, all these acharyas, what they are doing, previous acharyas, they refer to previous verses. Like for example, in 12th chapter, first verse, if somebody is writing commentary, then he will mention, okay, this verse is linked to 10th chapter, 8th verse. Or Krishna is saying in 1st chapter, 4th verse, that idea, and he's developing that idea in 12th chapter, 8th verse. So in all these purports, they are linking, so they're going back and forth. They are mentioning other verses. So if you read entire Bhagavad Gita, you know which verse they are mentioning. So it becomes a complex network. You can't break this network. It's very difficult. So that's the commentaries we know that this book has not changed. Because Sridhar Swami, that's the first commentary we have on Bhagavad Gita, Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami was almost just after Krishna. He was at that time, he was very old commentator. And then comes commentary of Ramanuja. So he was in 11th century, then Madhva, 13th century, then Vallabha, 14th century. In between, there were other many commentators also before them. So all along the timeline, you have commentators at different times. They are mentioning. That's why we know these verses are same. Is this clear, your answer? She said.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any other question? Otherwise,
pretty much. You said when people envy God, it is lust.
Yeah. Lust, so, it is lust, anger, greed is due to enviousness. So, it's simple. When you envy God, what happens is, what's envy? What's envy? Envy is what that person does. You don't, either you don't want him to do that. Is it? Suppose if somebody gets a car. So, you're envious, you know. So you say, you know, why he has got this car? He's showing himself, no? Like that. You don't have to do anything with that. It is not logical. He has got a car, what's the problem with you? But your mind starts thinking, why he's showing himself, that stupid thoughts. So then you, then next thought is, well, I'll get a better car than him. Is it? I mean, so enviousness leads to lust. Lust means desire. I'll get a better car. Why he's showing himself? He's not even ready. Abhi main bhi apni car launga. So the point is,
it's not envy.
In spiritual life, Prabhupada said that we have spiritual envy, spiritual competition. That's good. But there, that's a problem. I mean to say, Your desire has no causal link with his desire. You understand causal link? There's no causal link that his desire should cause your desire. There's no logic. Your desire is different, it's different. But you get a desire due to enviousness. And in fact, enviousness is no, it's illogical. But nevertheless, you'll get it. Why? Because, why we get envy to him? Because we envy God. And that's why you will get, you know that it's illogical, no? People know, why I'm thinking like that? What's the point? Let him do anything he wants. We'll not be able to stop it. Because we envy God, so, okay, fine. So illusion, Maya says, okay, fine, you envy God? Okay. So your punishment is, you will start envying everybody. You want to envy, okay, fine. So have a taste of enviousness. That's my blessing. Start envy everybody. You like enviousness. No? Now you see what will happen if you are envious all your life. Millions of lives you have envious, and what's the result you see? And then we understand, oh, this is problem, you know. Just leave this. So that's envious. So lust is due to enviousness. Greed is then due to lust. If your desire is fulfilled, you get greed. If your desire is not fulfilled, you get
anger.
So, but base is envy. Envy from God. Mm-hmm. From there it starts. Ting, 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 and we fall down.
Prabhuji,
it's a problem.
That you said the person is envious of God, but he may not even know God.
So he forgets, no. He was envious of God. Illusion says, okay, fine. You'll be quite envious of everybody. And you'll forget God. Envious, you're envious of God. So Krishna says, okay, if you're envious of me, if you want to, envious means, so fine, you just forget me, that's all. It solves the situation. But then you become envious of everybody. That's what illusion does. Illusion makes you forget Krishna. Because Maya cannot see anybody envious of God, no? She's servant of God. So she becomes mad. And why he is envious of my master? And then she makes you forget Krishna and gives you this body, makes you put in material world, and then makes you envious of everybody. She amplifies. See, envious of God is you're envious of everybody, because Krishna has everything with him, no? Is it? So it automatically comes to being envious of everybody. So then the problem starts.
So that's why we want to enjoy separately from
Krishna. That's why we want to enjoy. Prabhupada says in all of his small books, we are envious of Krishna. That's why the all problems. That's why devotion, that is why we do devotion. See, what is devotion? Love. Love is just anti to envy, no? Is it? You don't envy your own children. Never. You can never do that. You can never even imagine, because you love them. So the antidote of this is love. So many other people, like many other all yogis, they say, okay, you have lust, so conquer lust. If greed, conquer greed. But that's not the full solution, because the base is envy. We understand. Right. And this Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, that's the problem with them. They envy Krishna, no? Duryodhan, especially Duryodhan. Like Krishna came, you know, Krishna came for peace, as a peace messenger. Like just at the end, when war was starting, just before that war. And Bhima was very angry. Bhima was saying, Krishna, don't go. We'll kill them, that's all, finish this off. Bhima is always angry. Krishna, no problem, let's go and have peace. Because I don't want in history to people to say that we started the war.
Right.
They started the war. We were always trying for peace. So he goes, and Duryodhan planned, I will kidnap Krishna and kill him. Right? He's foolish. And Krishna comes, and Duryodhan tells his soldiers, like, surround him, catch him, and kill him. And Krishna, so Krishna tells to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, just tell him, you know, what stupid he's doing. He's mad or what? He can't catch me. It's impossible. If he does like that, I'm going to kill him afterwards, but he'll be killed now only. So better, you know. So then Duryodhan was like a little perplexed. Then Krishna showed his universal form there. You know, he showed. And even after seeing that universal form, Duryodhan was...
Yeah,
he didn't understand. That is envy.
That is
envy. See? So we are all... So Duryodhan represents envy. Envy by which you cannot understand God. It's difficult.
Was Krishna ever able to relieve Duryodhan of his enviousness?
No, he killed him. That's all. Some people are not curable. You are so much diseased. Euthanasia. You know this. You have to kill him. That's all. No solution.
What about Dhritarashtra?
Dhritarashtra Vidur took him to the forest. And because Duryodhan, everybody died. So what's the option, you know? He practiced, but Bhagavatam says he couldn't perfect his life. He missed that opportunity.
I was thinking maybe in afterlife, maybe in...
Yeah, if in next life he will have, but we don't have any accounts for that. But of course, he will have.
He entered the fire, right?
Yeah, he burned his body.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't perfect his life. He couldn't. That's the point. So, pretty much clear. That's first chapter. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.